and welcome to ID the Future. This is Sarah Chaffee with the Center for Science and Culture. Today we have on the show with us Casey Luskin, Research Coordinator at Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. He holds both a law degree from the University of San Diego and a master's degree in earth sciences from the University of California at San Diego. Casey is a contributor to Debating Darwin's Doubt, which is a collection of responses to critics of Stephen Meyer's book, Darwin's Doubt. Debating Darwin's Doubt is set to be released this summer, and Casey is here to discuss the book with us. Casey, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
It's great to be back.
Today, we'll be discussing the response from BioLogos. So jumping right in, Casey, can you tell us about who BioLogos is?
Sure. BioLogos is a Christian organization that basically promotes the view that Darwinian evolution and sort of a material history of life is entirely correct. They don't typically like intelligent design. They are opposed to the idea that we can scientifically detect design in nature. And they think that God used strictly material evolutionary mechanisms when creating life. And so they have quite a few scientists involved with their organization that promote this view and have a lot of programs that go along with that.
Did the BioLogos reviewers affirm or deny Meyer's claim that neo-Darwinism is flawed?
Yeah, so it was in the fall of 2014 that BioLogos came out with quite a few reviews of Darwin's Doubt, and they took different viewpoints, which was interesting. Some of them even conflicted with each other. But what we saw in these reviews was that a couple of them actually affirmed Stephen Meyer's claim that neo-Darwinism is coming under serious critique in the scientific community. In particular, one of the lead biologists at BioLogos, a scientist named Dr. Daryl Falk, who's formerly a biologist at Point Loma Nazarene University and actually a very nice guy, Falk basically conceded that Meyer is correct to state that neo-Darwinism is undergoing quite a bit of rethinking in the field of evolutionary biology and that it's coming under some very strong criticism. Same goes for Ralph Sterley, who's a paleontologist who reviewed Meyer's book for BioLogos. He also noted that neo-Darwinism is coming under a lot of attacks, especially from developmental biologists, sort of from an evo-devo perspective. Now, other reviewers of Darwin's Doubt at BioLogos took a different approach. For example, Robert Bishop, who is a philosopher at Wheaton College, he essentially made it sound like neo-Darwinism really is not in any serious trouble and that biologists are not critiquing natural selection, population genetics as mechanisms to explain what we see. Now, what was interesting was both Paul Nelson and myself wrote some responses to Robert Bishop, pointing out that actually it's pretty easy to see in the scientific community where Darwinian evolution is coming under serious attack. And actually, we quoted a couple of articles. I quoted one by Simon Conway Morris that talked about this post-Darwinian world that some biologists say we're actually entering, and how even talking about with respect to the Cambrian explosion, there are kind of two schools of thought today. One school says that neo-Darwinism is going to work, but there's a very much legitimate school of thought out there that says, you know what, we need to abandon neo-Darwinism completely because it's not going to explain what we see in the Cambrian period. So I think that the correct way to say it is probably more like what Daryl Falk and Ralph Sterley said in agreement with Stephen Meyer, that yes, there are some serious criticisms of neo-Darwinism out there in the scientific community.
So did these BioLogos reviewers address Meyer's central claim, talking about the origin of new information?
They really did not address Meyer's central claim, and this actually gets at where are they coming from? Even the reviewers who acknowledge that neo-Darwinism is facing criticism, they did not then go and say, okay, well, we agree with Stephen Meyer that intelligent design is the right explanation. They are still holding out hope that fully material explanations of life's evolutionary history will be forthcoming. They admit in some cases that we don't have those yet, but at least they're holding out hope that there will be fully material evolutionary explanations. But in no case did they address or really even attempt to address the issue of the origin of new genetic information, which of course is one of the central problems that Meyer raises in the book. And I think that's consistent with the fact that they really did not say that Darwinian theory or other evolutionary models has it all figured out yet. They're not willing to go for intelligent design. They're sort of in this limbo zone where they want to hold out hope that evolutionary explanations will be forthcoming, but they certainly did not provide explanations for things like the origin of new information. And I highly recommend reading Paul Nelson's chapters in Debating Darwin's Doubt, as he goes over this in quite a bit of detail, very rigorously.
What about the God of the Gaps charge? How did the theistic evolutionists respond on that point?
Yeah, so one of the main reviews from BioLogos in response to Darwin's doubt was actually written by the Oxford theologian Alistair McGrath. Now, McGrath is a theistic evolutionist, and so it's not surprising that he disagrees with Meyer's thesis. What was interesting about his review, quote unquote, of Darwin's doubt is that it didn't mention Darwin's doubt. In fact, I'm not even sure if it mentioned intelligent design. BioLogos just posted it and sort of framed it as if it was a response to Darwin's doubt. And the main argument there was to not use God of the Gaps arguments, that we ought not to use God of the Gaps arguments. Well, if you read Darwin's doubt goes actually into great detail to show why intelligent design is not a God of the Gaps argument. And I wrote a chapter in debating Darwin's doubt, which actually just basically quotes from some lengthy passages from Darwin's doubt. Meyer actually spends a lot of space in Darwin's doubt developing the positive case for design, showing that ID is not a gaps-based argument. And maybe I should define what a gaps-based argument is. The God of the Gaps charge says essentially that there are these things that science cannot explain, and you are saying that because science cannot explain it, that we're going to insert God into those gaps. And of course, over time, as science can explain more and more, then those gaps shrink, and whatever your gaps-based argument is no longer able to account for that idea. Now, intelligent design is not based upon what we don't know. A gaps-based argument is always trying to say, we don't know this, so we're going to put God into that gap. Intelligent design is very different. It's not based upon what we don't know. It's not based upon finding gaps in our knowledge. Rather, it's based upon what we do know about the powers of intelligent causes to produce new information and new types of complex systems. And again, Stephen Meyer goes into great detail developing this positive case for design in his book. We could spend a lot of time quoting from Darwin's Doubt where Meyer does this, but I'll just give maybe one or two quotes. He says, "Intelligent agents, due to their rationality and consciousness, have demonstrated the power to produce specified or functional information in the form of linear sequence-specific arrangements of characters." So there you go. Whenever we see these sequence-specific arrangements of characters in a linear form, according to Meyer, that always comes from an intelligence. But of course, what do we see in DNA and what is needed to produce new body plans is immense amounts of this linear sequence-specific arrangement of characters. Meyer goes on to say, "Rational agents can arrange both matter and symbols with distant goals in mind. They also routinely solve problems of combinatorial inflation. In using language, the human mind routinely finds or generates highly improbable linguistic sequences to convey an intended or preconceived idea." So there again is a positive case, and yet what do we see at the heart of life? We see a language-based code that has to be designed sort of with the goal that you want to get to in mind to produce this very complex body plan. So if you read Darwin's Doubt, you definitely will not come across with the impression that this is a gaps-based argument, arguing from what we don't know, because what you'll see is that Meyer spends a lot of time arguing from what we do know about the generative capabilities of intelligent agents. So I think that BioLogos maybe had a little bit of a misfire there in trying to imply that Darwin's Doubt makes a gaps-based argument, when in fact, I think a fair reading of the book shows that really it's not a gaps-based argument at all.
What did Paul Nelson say about methodological naturalism and the BioLogos reviewers?
Yeah, so Paul Nelson in chapter 37 of the book has a wonderful chapter titled "Methodological Naturalism, a Rule That No One Needs or Obeys." And in his contributions to the book, he talks about how, sure, there are some BioLogos reviewers who acknowledge that Stephen Meyer is correct, the neo-Darwinism is under attack, but they won't go so far as to therefore infer intelligent design. They're basically saying, stop, we are not allowed to infer design because of methodological naturalism. Well, what is methodological naturalism? It's basically a philosophical premise which says that when you're doing science, you're not allowed to invoke intelligent causes. And Paul Nelson notes that some of the BioLogos reviewers essentially expressly endorse methodological naturalism, and Paul Nelson calls methodological naturalism a press button in case of emergency doctrine that serves as a, quote, defeater for unwelcome ideas. So in other words, they just sort of invoke methodological naturalism when they're out of options, when they don't have any arguments left, to sort of say, look, they can't refute your argument, so they're just going to say your argument is ruled out of bounds by definitional fiat, and it's sort of a way to stop the conversation when the evidence is not on their side.
What were Stephen Meyer's points about methodological naturalism and the BioLogos reviewers?
Well, he took a similar approach to Paul Nelson in that he recognized that some of the BioLogos reviewers agreed with him that Neo-Darwinian evolution is coming under attack, and at least one of them even conceded that we don't have material evolutionary explanations for the Cambrian explosion. So Meyer says, look, when I look at this evidence and I see that material causes really are not explaining what we see, I think that that lends justification to inferring intelligent design. Why don't the BioLogos reviewers want to do that? And he thinks that the reason why is because of methodological naturalism. It's basically this philosophical pre-commitment that you hold before you come to the data. It's not based upon the data. It's an assumption you make coming to the data, saying that we're not going to invoke any non-material intelligent causes. So really, it's a restriction on our ability to seek truth and to find the answers, because it says we're only allowed to find truth provided that it is within the material realm. If it's an intelligent cause, we're not allowed to do that. And Meyer actually quotes from some passages from the BioLogos reviewers where they're essentially endorsing methodological naturalism. You should read chapter 39 from Stephen Meyer in the book to get the full story, but it's really quite interesting where he says that some of the BioLogos reviewers have what he calls a distinctively Christian commitment to methodological naturalism.
So Casey, isn't it true that the BioLogos president, Deborah Harsma, denies that BioLogos has any endorsement of methodological naturalism?
Yeah, she wrote a reply to Stephen Meyer's sort of reply to the reviewers, where she says that BioLogos does not have an official position on the use of the term methodological naturalism. But Meyer then has sort of a surrebuttal to Harsma, which I recommend reading in Debating Darwin's Doubt, where he mentions, you know what? I can actually find quite a few instances where BioLogos authors are endorsing the concept of methodological naturalism. In fact, sometimes they're even using the term methodological naturalism. In fact, one of those instances comes from sort of an official BioLogos statement that deals with methodological naturalism. So I think it's probably not quite correct for Dr. Harsma to sort of imply that BioLogos is neutral on methodological naturalism. I think they're pretty much strongly in favor of it. In fact, at the end of the day, when the evidence does not support unguided evolutionary mechanisms, it's sort of their trump card to use to stop anyone from making a design inference, which is a bit strange when you think about it, that you have people who believe, these are people who are Christians, and they believe that there is a God, that there's a divine being capable of creating the heavens and the earth. But yet when they do science, they want to sort of exclude the possibility that you're going to be able to scientifically detect the action of God, and they want to exclude any intelligent causes from science. Now, maybe Dr. Harsma herself doesn't have that same commitment, but I certainly can see multiple examples within the writings of leading BioLogos authors endorsing methodological naturalism, both in spirit and the exact term as well.
So in conclusion, do you think that methodological naturalism is really one of the key disagreements between the intelligent design camp and the BioLogos camp?
I do think it is. I actually think that this exchange that you can read about in Debating Darwin's Doubt is very clarifying. A lot of people wonder, what exactly is the difference between intelligent design and theistic evolution? Well, I think there are a number of differences. One of them is that theistic evolutionists basically don't think that we can or do detect design through science and nature. But I think that methodological naturalism plays a major role in that, and that they think that we ought not to detect design scientifically in nature, or at least they think that we cannot do so. So I think this is a major dividing line, and I think that if you read the responses carefully from Stephen Meyer, Paul Nelson, in Debating Darwin's Doubt, you'll find some careful analyses of what the BioLogos authors were saying and how they really were endorsing methodological naturalism, especially, as it turns out, when the scientific evidence doesn't support evolutionary mechanisms.
So to all our listeners, you can read more about BioLogos and our response to their review in the book Debating Darwin's Doubt. Casey, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Sarah Chaffee with ID the Future. Stay tuned for more with Casey Luskin on the book Debating Darwin's Doubt.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2015. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.